Shalom to all. Today's office is Yerushalmi Shabbos Daf Hey, and we're starting right at the top of the Amud and the Vilna Daf. It's on Dalet Amud Aleph, a little past the halfway mark, with the words Hay Amud Bifnim. And today's office sponsor Lilu Nishmas Maris Miriam Sarah Bas Yaakov Moshe. Her Nishama should have an Aliyah. And the Gemara tells us Hay Amud Bifnim. A fellow's inside is in the Rosh Hashanah Yachid V'yadim Aleya Peres Pshuta Lachutz, and his hand, which is full of fruit, is stretched outside in the Rosh Hashanah Rabim. The Kadash Alav Ayoyim, and all of a sudden it became Shabbos. The day became holy. That's literally what it means. So it's Erev Shabbos, and his hands outside, and then all of a sudden he notices that it's Shabbos. Aser Lachzira. He's not allowed to bring it back inside. Why is this? Rav Acha says, "B'shem Rabba, Kamad Demar, also Lashamish by Vira Asara." This is according to the Mad Amar, the one's not allowed to use the airspace that's within 10 tefachim above Rosh Hashanah. That's because we're going with this concept that we learned yesterday, Klutik Mishahoncha, something which is kolot, it's contained within airspace, is as if it's resting. So it's like his hand is resting in the Rosh Hashanah, and now if he brings it back inside, it's like he did an akira in the Rosh Hashanah and a hanacha inside Rosh Hashanah. Now this is only an Isser Durabanan, it's not an Isser Dairaisa, because really we say that a person hand is goes baser their guf, it goes baser their body, but it still also do this midrabanan. However, now we have a brass that seems to be a stira. Istanaitani mutter. There's a brass that tells us that it's mutter for him to pull his hand back inside. And often Bayim Meir, they wanted to say that there's no stira between brasses. Mandamar mutter b'shiyasham rechavar ba. The one that says that it's mutter, that's the second brassa, is referring to where in the rishus rabim there's something four wide, meaning there's a pillar that's four tefachim wide and three tefachim tall, which is considered a karmelis, and that's where his hand is over. So it's basically taking his hand from a karmelis into Rosh Hashanah Yachid, which in this situation would be completely permitted, and Uman Demar Aser, according to the first Brayse, that it's Aser to do so, B'she'en Shem Rechav Arba, that's where there isn't a pillar that's four wide and three tefachim tall, and that means that his hand is just directly over the Shusha Rabim, and that's why he's not allowed to pull it back inside. However, Amar Bias Rabboni gives a different answer. Bein Zeh Bein Zeh, both of these Brayses are Kaman Demar Aser L'shtamish Bavir Asara, they're going like the Manda Amar, that it's Aser to use the airspace within 10 tefachim above the Shusha Rabim, and there's no pillar over there, so why is there no Machlaikis? My Kedoin, what's the explanation? Mandamar Aser. According to Mandamar, the first Brysa, that it's also for him to pull his hand back inside, Lamata Me'asara. That's because his hand is within 10 tefachim above the Rosh Hashanah. Umandamar Mutter, according to Mandamar, the second Brysa, that he's allowed to pull his hand back inside, Lamala Me'asara. That's referring to where his hand is higher than 10 tefachim above the Rosh Hashanah, and therefore it's not considered to be in the Rosh Hashanah at all, and he's allowed to bring it back inside. And now continue to explain the Mishnah, Ha'ani Chayv Baal Bayis Potter. We imagine there's a case where the Ani is Chayv and the Baal Bayis is Potter. This Gemara is now really going on the next case in the Mishnah, where the Baal Bayis placed something into the Ani's hand or took it out of the Ani's hand, and the Baal Bayis would be Potter. So Rabbi Yehuda says, B'shem Shmuel, V'hushite yada shel ani b'soich asar l'karka. It has to be that the ani's hand is within 10 tefachim of the karka, and that would mean that when the Baal Bayis places something into it or takes something out of it, it's like he's doing this in the Rosh Hashanah itself. Now Amar Rab Zeir further clarifies, B'rachak men akar sal arba. It has to be that he's at least 4 tefachim away from the wall. Avolim eina rachak men akar sal arba. If the ani is not 4 tefachim away from the wall, karmel is he. So this is just considered a karmelis. We had this a few daf ago that if a person's standing within 4 tefachim of a wall, that space is considered like a temporary karmelis, and if the ani was standing like this, the Baal Bayis would not be chayiv. Rabbi Elazar says, "B'shem Rav Shimon Karsana, b'shahayu panav afuches l'platya." It's referring to where the ani was turned around and he was facing the platya. He was facing the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, and so now when the Baal Bayis places something into his hand, it's not that there's the ani, his hand, and then the Baal Bayis with the hand being in a karmelis. The hand is on the other side; it's facing the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, and therefore the Baal Bayis is dealing with something that's in a Rosh Hashanah Rabim, and there's no karmelis here. Avolim hayu panav afuches l'kaisel. But if the ani were to be facing the wall, karmelis. Since it's just considered a karmelis, and the Baal Bayis would not be chayiv. We continue. Rav Chizkiah says, "B'shem Rav Ashi, kana nods Rosh Hashanah Rabim." Let's say there was a pole stuck into the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, gavaya asar tefachim. It was 10 tefachim tall. And now pay attention to the girsa change because we're basically not gyrus the next two lines. The following is the proper girsa: mutter lakan ulakan. It's mutter to use it here and there, meaning it's mutter to be in a Rosh Hashanah Yachid and put something on or take something off this pole, and it's also mutter to be in the Rosh Hashanah Rabim and put something on or take something off this pole. Uvad shlo yachlif, as long as he doesn't switch, meaning as long as he doesn't take something from Rosh Hashanah Yachid, put it on the pole, and then take it off the pole and bring it to the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, or vice versa. But as long as he's dealing with just Rosh Hashanah Yachid in the pole or just Rosh Hashanah Rabim in the pole, that would be okay because this thin pole, this thin kane, is not considered Rosh Hashanah by itself, and therefore there's no issue. Now Rav Amar Rav says, Tarchus shu ayman Rosh Hashanah Rabim gvay asar tefachim rechav arba. If we have a box in the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, it's 10 tefachim tall and 4 tefachim wide, hamishtamish mitoich Rosh Hashanah Rabim, Rosh Hashanah Rabim mitoich chayiv. If a person's mishtamish from Rosh Hashanah Rabim into it or from into it into the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, he's chayiv because this is considered Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Anything which is 10 tefachim tall and 4 tefachim wide is considered its own Roshos. It's a Rosh Hashanah Yachid over here in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, and therefore he's not going to be putting something on or taking something off this box if he's in the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, or if he's on the box and putting something in and out of it onto the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, that'd be something that's mechayiv him. Now, Tanar Rabbi Shai or Bishai teaches something very similar. Menorah Shemes Rosh Hashanah Rabim. We have a lamp in the Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Gavaya Asara. It's 10 tefachim tall. Upircha Arba. And it's flower, which is basically a decorative flower on top of it, and it's 4 tefachim wide. Hamishtamish mitachal Rishus Ram, Rishus Ram Mataycha Chayiv. One who uses this from it to Rishus Ram, from Rishus Ram into it, he's Chayiv as well. It's the same thing as the box case we just mentioned. Now, Amar Rav Mana tells us, Loisav Davar Menaira, it's not ultimately that it has to be a Menaira, a lamp, El Afila Kanab Rishus Rabim. Even if it's just a reading the Rishus Rabim, Gavayasar Tvachim, which is 10 Tvachim tall, but with Tavla Nasuna Bereishai, there's a box, a Tavla, some sort of tray or box at the top of this pole, and the box is 4 Tvachim wide, even though the pole itself isn't, but the box is, Hamishtamish Mataycha Rishus Ram, Rishus Ram Mataychai, Chayiv. One who's Mishtamish with this box, putting something in or taking something out, he'd be Chayiv. Because over here we say, good Achis Mechitzais, that the Mechitzais, the walls, if you will, of this box, of this Tavla, they go all the way down to the floor, and so now it's like we have a Rishus that's 10 by 4, that's Rishus Yachid and Rishus Rabim. Now, after all these discussions, Hayomid Beis on top, the Gemara asks, Minaylam Alam Hasara Shi Rishus Acheres. How do you know that more than 10 Tvachim, both Rishus Rabim, is considered its own Rishus, and it's not part of the Rishus Rabim anymore? So Rabbi Vos says, we have a pasuk that tells us, that I'll meet with you or appear to you there and speak with you above the kapayres. This is Hashem telling Moshe Rabbeinu that when I meet you, so to speak, in the oil ma'ed and I talk to you, that's going to be coming me'ala kapayres, from above the kapayres. And where's the kapayres? Asher al aron ha'edos mi'bein shnei akruvim. The kapayres was the cover of the aron. It's above the aron ha'edos, and the sound, the voice of Hashem is going to be coming from in between the two kruvim. Now, except we have another pasuk referring to Matan Torah that tells us, atem re'isem, you've seen kimina shamayim dibarti machem, that I spoke to you from shamayim. What do we learn from here? Ma dibor shenemer la'alon rishos acheres, just like the dibor by Matan Torah was coming from a totally different rishos, because it says very clearly in the pasuk, kimin ha'shamayim dibarti machem, I spoke to you from shamayim, says Hashem, and that's a different rishos. Av dibor shenemer kan rishos acheres. So to the dibor that's coming me'alak apayres, it must be that's coming from a totally different rishos. So we see from here that above the aron, which we're assuming is 10 tefachim, is considered to be its own rishos. Ask the Gemara, va'aron lo tisha tefachim hu? Wasn't the aron 9 tefachim? The pasuk tells us the aron was 1.5 amas tall, and 1.5 amas is 9 tefachim, not 10. So the Gemara answers, the Beis Rabbi Yannai Amri, the Beis Rabbi Yannai said, the kapayres tefach. The kapayres, the lid of the aron, that was a tefach. So the aron was 9, the lid was 1, so 9 plus 1 is 10. Here we have 10. Barab Zera, Barab Zera asked, minayla kapayres shi tefach. How do we know the kapayres was a tefach? And the answer is, Tanur of Chananya bar Shmuel, kol hakelim shoy v'mikdash, all the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, nosna tar midas arkon v'rachvan v'nosna shir kaimasan. The Torah gave the dimensions for how long and wide they were, and also for how tall they were. Chotz min ha-kapayres, except for the kapayres, the lid of the aron, shenosna tar midas arkon v'rachva, the Torah told us how long and wide it is, v'loy nosna shir kaimasa, but did not say how tall it is. Talmud Anam Akli Katan Shem HaMikdash, so we'll learn from the smallest kli in the Mikdash that tells us, v'siso loy mizgeres toifach saviv, that you shall make a mizgeres, a frame, which is a tefach all around it, ma'kan tefach, avkan tefach, just like the mizgeres, the frame was a tefach, and that seems to be the smallest kli that we have in the Beis HaMikdash, so too, the kapayres was a tefach. But here's a question, maybe we should learn from the next part of this very same pasuk that you should make a zer zahav, a golden crown for the mizgeres all around, and ma'kan kolshehu, avkan kolshehu. Just like over here, with the zer zahav, this golden crown, it just had to be a kolshehu, it just had to be a thin little crown, it's a decorative piece, it didn't have to be a tefach, so maybe over here as well, the kapayres is only a tefach. And so on this, the Gemara asks, my kedoin, what are we supposed to do? How do we answer this? So Rav Acha bar Yaakov Omer, he tells us, pinei. This is when the pasuk says, al pinei ha-kapayres, on the face of the kapayres, and what's the size of a face? Ve'im pinei pachas mitefach. There's no such thing as a face which is less than a tefach, because we know a child's face is a tefach. So we see that the kapayres is a tefach. But now we have another question. Rabbi Yossi asks the following. Ilu migdal shahaya omer b'sei chabayas. Let's say a person had a tower, he had some sort of structure in his house. Gavaya kama is a significant height. Shema inu mutal l'shtamash mitoichai l'bayas u'min abayas l'toichai. Would you think that it's not permitted to take something from it and use it in your house, or take something from your house and put it on this thing? Of course you're allowed to do that. This thing is in your house. Imagine your table. You have your table, which is basically a box. It's a migdal. It's wide. It's tall. It's above 10 tefachim. Would you think that you're not allowed to put something on or take something off of it? Of course you are. You're in a Rishus HaYachid. You're in your house. So anything that's in your house is considered a Rishus HaYachid. It's not considered its own unique individual Rishus. And that should be the same thing with the Aron. We're trying to use the height of the Aron and the fact that Hashem's voice came out from above the Aron to say that, oh, the Aron is its own Rishus. It's its own unique thing. As that means that above 10 tefachim is its own Rishus. But it was within the Beis HaMikdash. So it's not considered its own unique individual Rishus. It's Nichlal, if you will, in the Beis HaMikdash. So what are we learning from here? And on this, the Gemara answers, El B'Shashayim Rabbeya Lahenes Aruchas Anan Kaimen. We're talking about this situation. This is referring to when the Yidden were traveling through the Midbar and they were setting up the Mishkan in a new spot. First, the Aron was placed down. That was the very first thing that they did. They wouldn't put up the walls. They wouldn't put anything else down. They would take the Aron and they'd place it down. And it would be Merabeya Lahenes Aruchas. It was a big nace. The Aron positioned itself facing Mizrach, and then they knew that this is the direction we're supposed to build the Mikdash. And so it was at that moment that there was just an Aron and there was no walls, there was no Mishkan, there was no Rosh Hashayachid, just an Aron in the Midbar, So that's where we could learn that the Aron was his own Rishos. It was Rishos HaYachid, and so above this Rishos HaYachid, above this 10 Tfachim, is considered separate from the Rishos HaRabim. We continue asking, Nicha Kamanda Amar Ba'amas Shisha. This is all good, according to Manda Amar, that the Amma that was used in measuring the Kalim in the Mishkan was a 6 Tefach Amma. So that means the Aron, which is 1.5 Ammas, is a total of 9 Tfachim. Baram Kamanda Aron Ba'amas Chamisha. What about according to Manda Amar, all the Kalim of Mikdash were measured with a 5 Tefach Amma. Va'aron Lav Shiva Tfachu Mechzahu. Wouldn't that make the Aron only 7.5 Tfachim and not 9 Tfachim? And because of this question, we have yet another way of learning. Rav Yaakov Bar Acha Amar, the Beis Rabbi Yanai. Rav Yaakov Bar Acha said in the name of the Beis Rabbi Yanai, Rav Shem Ben Yoit Sadak, he also said something. Chad Yaflam in Aron, Vacharna Yaflam in Hagalos. One of them learns it from the Aron, and one of them learns it from the Hagalos, from the wagons that were used to transport the Mishkan. Vloyadin Man Yaflam in Aron, Man Yaflam in Hagalos. We don't know who learns from Aron and who learns from Hagalos. And Mistabra, it's logical, says the Gemara, the Beis Rabbi Yanai Yalfin Alam in Aron, that is Beis Measure of Yanai that learns from the Aron, the Beis Rabbi Yanai Amron, because Beis Measure of Yanai said, the Kapiras Tafach. We had this before. They had told us the Kapiras was a Tafach, and if they're commenting on the Kapiras, that must mean that they hold the Aron was 9 Tfachim, and 9 Tefach Aron plus 1 Tefach of a Kapiras is a total of 10 Tfachim. And then that means that Reb Shimei Yitzadik Yalflam in Agalos, Reb Shimei Yitzadik learns from the Agalos that 10 Tfachim is his own Rishos. And so now we ask on this Shita. Reb Zeir Rabbi Reb Zeir asked the following, Minan Lagal Shein Gevayas Hasara, how do we know that the Agalos were 10 Tfachim high? And even a bigger question, Amrab Yosef, Reb Yosef says, Vafilu Timer Gevayas Hasara, even if you want to say that the Agalos were 10 Tfachim tall, Vlaikin Tani Reb Nechamia, didn't Reb Nechamia teach the following? Tzav, Kamin Kamars Tahayu. When the Pasuk talks about the wagons that transported the Mishkan and the Kalim, it calls them Eglois Tzav, wagons that are Tzav. Now we know that a Tzav is a turtle, and a turtle has a shell. So an Agala, a wagon, which is Tzav, means it has a shell or a cover on it. And that's what Kamarsta means. It's basically a box with walls or a box with a cover. And the reason why that's a problem is as follows. Vavam Ralph on the top. Ilu Chor B'Rishos HaRabim Gavaya Asara V'Rachav Arba. Let's say there's a hole in the Rishos HaRabim, 10 Tfachim tall and 4 Tfachim wide, which means there's a hole dug in the floor of the Rishos HaRabim, which is 10 Tfachim deep and 4 Tfachim wide. Shema Eina Asal Hashtamash Mitoichel Rishos HaRabim Rishos HaRabim L'Toichai. Isn't it of course Asar to Mishtamash from the Rishos HaRabim into it and from it into the Rishos HaRabim? It's considered its own Rishos HaYachid because it's 10 Tfachim and it has walls. So of course it's own Rishos HaYachid. And since that's the way the Agalos were, we had wagons that were covered, they have walls, it's obvious the one would not be allowed to be Mishtamish from the Rishos HaRabim into them or from them into the Rishos HaRabim. We're trying to talk about airspace above 10 Tfachim. And on this, the Gemara answers, El B'Shoi Shoi Meshitin Esa Krashim Yizulazu Terutais Hayu. When they were transferring the beams from one wagon to another, they were Terutais, which means the walls or the cover was off of it, and then there was just open airspace. And so here we see that the airspace above 10 Tfachim, above the ground, is its own independent thing. We're going to stop before the day and pick up tomorrow and continue to explain the Mishnah. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.